Thanks, John. Something really to celebrate and to be excited about and to rejoice in. And what we're going to be doing over the next couple of months, actually, is something that I think is something to get excited about and to celebrate. And I'm just going to share with you what we'll be doing over these next couple of months and see if you think the same. Because what we're going to be doing is looking at one of the big picture ideas that flows through the entire Bible. The idea of covenant. And this is where God, this God that we've been singing about, this God that we celebrate, this God that we are thankful for, enters into what is described as a covenant relationship with his people. And I'll be speaking about one of those times later in our service. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes to explain or remind you what covenants are. As it's not a term we use much these days. We do, interestingly, come across them in property law, where there's something called a restrictive covenant that restricts the use of a piece of land or a building. In one house that Joe and I bought, there was a clause in the contract strictly forbidding us from keeping pigs in the house. This did not worry us too much. But we don't see them very much. There is a close relationship between a covenant and a contract, where a covenant is a legally enforceable agreement between two parties. Well, a covenant is more about a promise to do something or not to do something. But there's quite a lot of confusion over them. I saw an article the other day written by someone in America talking about marriage. And he was arguing that in America, their culture sees marriage as a contract, a legal agreement. Whereas God's design for marriage is for it to be a covenant based on mutual commitment between two people. One can be seen as a piece of paper defining a legal agreement. The other is all based on relationship. And for our purposes, as we think about the covenants that God entered into with his people, we will see that they are. They're quite formal things. They're binding commitments between God and his people. But importantly, they are based on his relationship with them, his promises to them, to people like us. They are set up freely by God, and his people are called to live within them. We're not called to live on our own. We're called to live in a relationship with God that God has committed himself to. And that's an amazing and wonderful thing. And each of the covenants we're going to look at over the next few weeks, the next couple of months, will introduce a new development into this relationship between God and his people, with changes to what God expects of them and what God commits himself to do for them. And it's totally valid and right to look at some of these covenants and ask how they apply to us. For example, one of the covenants we will look at, not this week, but a bit later, is the one that God established with his people through Moses after he'd rescued them from Egypt. And there were some specific things that God said to them that he would do, and some things that he expected of the people in return. We are not that group of people. We know that Jesus came to put in place a new covenant, and we live under that. And we'll think about that in a few weeks' time. So the covenant given through Moses does not have the same application to us as it did to the people of Israel thousands of years ago. But each of these covenants tell us something important about God, something important about people, something important about how we're called to live in relationship with God. And I think a great way of thinking about covenants is that they start with God as Father, the one who loves us, the one who is committed to us. They help us understand our identity, who we are. And flowing from that, we seek to live obediently to what God is asking of us. We don't live according to God's covenant expectations so that he likes us more. But because of who he is and because of what he's drawn us into, we seek to do what he's asked us to do. And the covenants of the past can provide deep insight into what it means to live under the covenant that Jesus made possible and draws us into. So that's what we'll be looking at over the next few weeks. And my prayer is that as we do so, we will be reminded again of God's great love for us. We'll get excited by that again. We'll rejoice in what God has done. We'll be reminded of the relationship that God wants to be in with us and his desire for us to live as his people in all that we do. So that's our plan for the next couple of months as we look at these different covenants that God has established with his people. And the first one was with a person called Noah, long, long, long time ago. And in a moment, June is going to come and read that story to us. And then a bit later on, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on it. But there's also an opportunity to go out with Isabel to discuss that story for yourself. So have a listen to this story that June's going to read and be thinking about whether you'd like to stay and listen to me reflecting on that or go and discuss with Isabel. Thanks, June.